You're now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here are your hosts, Al Powder and Maddie D.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 268, as always, presented by studentunionsports.com. Make sure to check out everything on studentunionsports.com, from the daily blogs and the podcast and everything else in between. Draft season is still here, folks. It's still here. We're 2 weeks away. So we're recording on Wednesday, April 10th. We are almost officially 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Al Mahigan here. Maddie Burnett here. Maddie, first of all, hello, hello.
Hello, 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 hello. Hello, you beautiful gentlemen.
Hello, hello. Maddie rocking his Red Sox cap in honor of Red Sox season with the currently, as we record, 7-4 Boston Red Sox. Potter's not here yet. He should be here very, very soon.
Should be here any second.
Pretty much any second. We could see Powder's face just pop onto the screen at any time. Come in with a baseball take and come in hot. But we'll save that. Hopefully the drama will kind of, you know, build itself up a little bit. We do have a guest tonight. He's been with us in the past, and he's one of the better minds to talk about as far as all the draft stuff, anything Patriots. From 98.5 The Sports Hub, it is Alex Barth. Barth, welcome back. I think this is like your third or fourth time with us.
Sounds about right. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
No, anytime, anytime. So Alex Barth, 98.5 The Sports Hub, it's a great time to have him on with us considering the Patriots draft again is in 2 weeks. So Barth, I'm just going to kind of kick it off right away. Let's just get down to it. So I know you write for the team. I know, well, you write about the team. You have your reporter hat. You have your writer hat. I want you to just put your strictly fan cap on right now, just doing the Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Little Alex Barth when he was 10 years old. If you had to have the Patriots make the selection at 3, who do you want them announcing on stage with that pick?
I mean, assuming Jaden Daniels is going second, which I think we can safely assume is happening at this point, I want Drake May. I just think there's no, you know, you're picking this high. You're kind of starting to rebuild all together. I don't want to play it safe. We just did that. I want a guy that has the real upside, and maybe he flames out, and that's totally possible. But can we be optimistic for a second instead of just looking at all of the quarterbacks and saying, what's the worst case scenario? Can we look at all of them and say, what's the best case scenario? And if that's the case, how is it not Drake May? He's got electric arm talent. He's a threat with his legs. He plays the game with moxie. Like, that's the guy you want. That's all the makeup of a franchise quarterback. Is he a bit of a ways away from maxing that out? Yes. But I want to take a shot. I want to take a big shot. I don't want to lay up here. I'm going for the green.
Okay, so Alex Barth officially a Drake May stand, so we can put that to bed, so we know where Barth stands as a Patriots fan. We love that. Maddie, go ahead.
All right. So we're gonna go back to the third pick here, but we're gonna say it's not a quarterback.
Yeah.
If it's not a quarterback, who is it? Do you think?
I think it's a trade down. I can't imagine. Just the way everything's kind of playing out right now, to take Harrison at 3 or Alt at 3, I just don't think that's how they want to operate. If they're not going to get their franchise quarterback, they've made it clear they want to maximize draft selections, and that's moving down. So at that point, if they were to move down, so we'll call it their top selection instead of the third overall pick, I'd like to see them go, assuming they... So there's two spots to go from 3. Pretty much. It's 6 or 11. Those are the two most, maybe something weird happens, somebody else moves up, but I think those are the two most likely spots. I would like to see them get to 6. I still think you're going to get a pretty sizable haul, and you don't fall out of the range of the blue chip players that you would at 11. So assuming they're at 6, if Joe Alt falls, that's what I'd like to see them take. But of the top non-quarterbacks, they've shown more interest in Malik Nabers than anybody else. I had him mocked to them earlier this week for that exact reason. I think those are the two guys you're probably looking at if the top pick is not the third pick. If they move to 11, the math gets a lot more complicated in terms of, you know, who's going where, blah, blah, blah. Does Olufoshanu fall that far? Does Roma Dunze fall that far? Do you move back again at that point since you're out of the range of the blue chip prospects anyway? But if it's not a quarterback at 3, I would be way more surprised to see them pick Harrison or Alt at 3 than I would be to see them trade the pick.
Talk with Alex Barth of 98.5 The Sports Hub. Barth, let's talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. for 1 second. So earlier on in the offseason, there were some people that believed that maybe the Patriots wanted a receiver, wanted that big-time weapon to throw to, and Marvin Harrison Jr. would be just sitting there at 3 for them to take. My question to you is, besides the reason of they want a quarterback and they need a quarterback. What's changed from that kind of philosophy? Why is it that the Patriots won't even consider now, you think, taking Harrison Jr. at three? Do they really love this quarterback class? Or is it that they just think they need to take a quarterback because Mac Jones failed so miserably after three seasons here?
I wouldn't say that their opinion necessarily changed. I think we just... and I mean, maybe it did. I don't think that, like, they got into the meetings and it was, oh, wow, like, Harrison, this isn't the guy we want or anything like that. I think it was more just externally at the beginning, everybody's an option. And as you go through the process, you narrow it down. And I think it kind of got narrowed down to, and this is something I said this in like October. I was on a show and somebody asked, like, looking way ahead, would Marvin Harrison Jr. be, is there any way the Patriots can get Marvin Harrison Jr.? Would he be a good pick for the Patriots? I said at the time, if they're in a position to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., they need a quarterback. So no, he's not a good pick. And I think everybody finally caught up to that and understanding just it's so hard to start a reset with the receiver. There's very little historical evidence of that being a successful way of doing business. So I think it was more just the external realization on that. I'm sure at the beginning they considered it. I'm sure they considered everything. But I don't think it was a matter of, you know, they were sitting there in January saying, yeah, we want to draft Marvin Harrison. And then it got to March and they were like, oh, we don't want to draft him anymore. I think it was just, you know, they did their due diligence. But at the end of the day, when you look at it, so I say all the time, there's no such thing as a perfect prospect.
Right.
No such thing. Harrison is as close as I've ever seen. The floor is unbelievable. But as good as he is, when you look at the wide receiver talent coming out now and the way that from the youth programs, from the 7-on-7 and that aiding the development and colleges playing wide open and more high schools throwing the ball and having actual passing games and just the growth in athletic training, there is so much wide receiver talent coming into the league that I'm not going to lose any sleep not taking Marvin Harrison at three, even though he is the best wide receiver that's come out in a long time and will be the best receiver for the next few years. It's not like the guys behind him are scrubs. It's not like the guys behind him can't play. Whereas with the quarterback position, look what we just went through. 21, we thought was this great class. It wasn't. 22, straight bums.
Yeah.
23, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young might not be able to play. Richardson, we'll see. Like, he has had some trouble staying healthy from there on. But, like, you're not guaranteed quarterback talent. And that's not to say this year is a guarantee either. But if I'm going to take quarterback, I want to start with a guy that has as many tools in place as possible. And this year, there's guys that have more tools than players in past years. Whereas at receiver with Harrison, I'll go draft Luther Burden next year. I'll go draft Emeka Ibuka next year. Are they Harrison? No. Are they maybe 80, 85% of the prospect Harrison is with a comparable ceiling? Yes. So I can make that pass. And I think the Patriots deep down probably always knew that. That's like a fundamental thing. I just think externally it had to get caught up because we were so wired. Patriots need a receiver. The Patriots need a receiver for years and years and years. This was just the automatic thought. And here's this guy that is he Patriot, like, seems to be Patriots proof at the wide receiver position from the draft. And so people just kind of looked at that and said, yeah. But then you kind of realize the bigger picture of, no, it's not as simple as just adding a receiver to the offense. It's we're starting the offense from scratch, so you can't go there. So I'll be right. I'd still like to see them draft a wide receiver high in this draft because this class is great, whether that's a 34, whether it's a 68, maybe there's some sort of trade. And I'll probably be back in on wide receiver being one of their top two needs next year. But you just, it's order of operations with quarterback and left and tackle too. It's somewhere between wide receiver and quarterback where there's more like tackle talent is more prevalent than quarterback, but it's not quite the automatic just machine that wide receiver is. But so with those two as needs, and you look at the way the game plays out, and a lot of these successful teams have built from the front out, it's really tough to sell taking a wide receiver with this premium asset.
And by the way, listen, man, the order of operations thing, listen, I'm paid to do math from 7:45 to 2:45 every day. After that, math goes out the window for me, okay? I just want that clear and on the record. But yeah.
You want a funny story about that? So
I love this one.
This was a few years ago. I'm at a party, and I'm just talking to some people, and we were just, you know, talking about whatever. I think it was like a Halloween party. We were joking about people's costumes or something. And this guy comes up to me. He's a friend of a friend, so I didn't really know him. And he, oh, you work for the Sports Hub, right? And I was like, yeah. He goes, what's it like, you know, working with Felder? You know, I'm like, and I'm trying to have this conversation with these people. I'm like, yeah, you know, he's a nice guy. Oh, yeah, but what do you think of the Pats? And, like, I keep kind of waving him back, and he didn't get the hint. And then he did. He got annoyed with me. He's like, oh, you don't want to talk about the Patriots? What, you think you're too cool? I'm like, no, it's just I spent all day doing that. I don't really want to talk about that right now. And he's like, oh, come on. But you have such a fun job. I'm like, yeah, but it's a job. And he goes, get over yourself. I'm like, what do you do for a living? He goes, I teach math. I said, perfect. Oh, I have a bunch of questions about fractions and algebra. Let me ask you them. And he goes, why the hell would you want to talk about fractions right now? And I said, because I find it interesting. And he goes, I did that. That's what I do for work. I did it all day. I was like, exactly.
I'll tell you what. At the end of this.
I feel you on that one.
At the end of this, I'll let you ask a question about fractions, algebra, whatever you want. I'll answer to the best of my ability. That's a promise for you. All right, Maddie, go ahead.
All right, you just gave such a long-winded answer. Now I'm going to have to ask you another long-winded question for you. Oh, no. I don't know. I feel bad for you because my next question was actually about Marvin Harrison Jr., and then you answered it. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. I got something else. How, because you are, in my opinion, one of the best draft minds that I do see out there out of, you know, everyone that I follow. You're one of the best. You are. And
I can justify that this year, but I appreciate it.
How do you, because everyone's different in this, how do you evaluate the prospects coming in? Like, if you were given, you know, like 20 prospects to rank, like how are you able to rank them from, you know, like 1 to 20 or anything like that? Like, how do you come up with your personal thing for it?
Something I struggle with and honestly kind of avoid doing, and you can kind of make your compliment look bad to me, is I really struggle. I don't know how people do like a top 50 where it's all the positions together and this corner is better than this pass rusher or this receiver is better than this safety. Like I struggle with that because that's just not how I necessarily see the game positionally. I do the positional rankings like that. I do.
Yeah.
And so there's personal preference and I definitely leave the room in there for it. And I will admit this all the time that there are things that I get into this with Devin Lazar all the time, especially at the wide receiver position. There are things that I value more that other people might not. There are things that I maybe don't take into as much account as other people do. And so that's reflected in my rankings. But I also look at it through the lens of the Patriots. So for instance, this year, and this has been called a cop-out answer, but this is truly how I feel. If I'm starting a team from scratch, from zero, I have nobody in place, and I need to add a quarterback, I'm taking Jaden Daniels. But for the setup the Patriots have in place, I actually think Drake May is a better fit. So if you ask me to rank the quarterbacks, like I need more context there. So I usually do it, too, through the lens of the Patriots. So that, but I'll kind of keep track, too, of that other thing where it's just like, all right, who do I think is... Usually I kind of start off best to worst, just watching during the season. And then, because I don't know exactly what the Patriots' needs are going to be, and then I kind of plug those in later on. But I don't know that there's like a formula and like, well, this guy's footwork is this, so he's got to be ranked at least like top 8. No, it's just, you know, I don't know that I have a qualifiable way to do it. I just kind of watch players, and having watched enough players, it's, well, this guy does these things I like more than this guy does this thing, or this guy reminds me of a lot of it too is sometimes if I see a player comps are weird because I feel like you have to give them and sometimes it's really hard, but if I truly see in a player like a similarity, I'll be like that's kind of what I'm doing with Drake May this year, is I see a lot of what I saw in Justin Herbert and Drake May, and Justin Herbert hit. So I look at that and I'm like, all right, well, that tells me that this skill set has evidence of translating. So I may put a little more weight on that versus a guy who has a skill set I like, but maybe doesn't have as much of a history of translating or something like that. So I don't know that there's one, again, I don't know if there's one steadfast rule that I have. There is an element of just gut in it where when I see, and I will also be the guy again, like I don't mind copping out. I will wear the cop out badge to give what I think is accurate information. If I think two players are even, I'll say two players are even. I have no problem doing, and I might go down to nitpicky qualifiers like age or something like that. But yeah, there's no real, method to the madness. It's just, okay, I watched this player. I think he's this good. I watched this player. I think he's this good. So.
Love it. I love it. It's nice, simple, and basic. That's the way to go.
Again,
at the end of the day, the way I try to do it, and this is me personally, and I don't mean to knock other people who cover the draft. It's been done a certain way for a long time, and I respect that. But, you know, when I was like 16, 17, 18, and I'm trying to follow the draft, and like sometimes it goes over the head, and sometimes these people really want to sound like former scouts or are former scouts or coaches who don't know how to turn it off. And I'm trying to kind of be the middleman where I almost see myself as like a translator, whereas like, here's what the real intense draft nerds are saying. Here's what you need to know from that. And so I don't necessarily feel the need to go as deep into the rankings, mm-hmm. like that specific, because other people are doing that. And if people want that, they'll go get it from other people. I'll do the tiers. I'll do like individual players I know people are back and forth on. I'll figure that out. But I'm also like kind of trying to do something a little different, if that makes sense.
It does. And also the thing to remember too, you were a Patriots fan growing up. So it
still am.
Yeah, you should, and you still are, exactly. But now it just happens you have to write about them in a certain way and talk about them in a certain way. But the thing that I like about you, Alex, is that you'll try to relate to the fan. You'll try to dumb it down in a sense to be like, you know what? This is what you need to know. We're not going to overcomplicate the shit out of it. Here's what it is. So, and we respect that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal. Well, you know, if somebody's going to talk about, you know, hand placed submitting get in into the hands this and that whatever or blah blah blah, I'll just tell you, hands good, hands bad, because like I'm writing to my high school, and some people may say I see as my audience. That's who I'm trying to get the information to.
Right, exactly. Again, we're talking with Alex Barth, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So one draft, but also non-draft related question. It kind of coincides into one.
Yeah.
T. Higgins, obviously, still on the franchise tag in Cincinnati. We know he's requested a trade. Do you see a realistic situation where maybe draft night, the Patriots pull an unbelievable move and make T. Higgins a Patriot? Maybe they get rid of the second round pick, the 34th overall. Maybe they even get rid of 68th overall, and they say, you know what, a third is worth it for T. Higgins, not a second. What do you think, first of all, would be the move they'd have to do to get T. Higgins? And do you see that T. Higgins as a realistic possibility come draft night?
I think it's probably 34, maybe 193 also. Like, I just, using the Diggs trade as a jumping off point and what's been reported about Higgins, I don't think, unless you're going to start going into future assets or players, I don't think you're getting him for without giving up the 34th pick. That being said, I don't think it's going to happen. They've been very, very steadfast in the draft and develop belief. And you don't, trading picks, premium picks for players that need to be paid big money, is it, that's contrary to that entire philosophy. Now, what I will say to people who get mad at hearing that is, if they can get this thing a little more secure, if they can hit on the quarterback, if they can get a tackle, the guy, I don't even talk about free agent receivers anymore, because good receivers don't hit free agency. They get new contracts either from their team or a new team. Yep. So you look at the pending free agent class for next year. So the guys will be entering the final year of their contracts. Devonta Smith, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown's got 2 years, but we've heard he's maybe not super happy in Philly, right? If they can get this thing a little more solidified where they feel like we have our base, we have our core, next year is the year maybe it makes it, they may be more inclined to make that move. So I don't think that kind of move is entirely off the table, but I think they want to build a young, sustainable core. And as much as people may say, well, a great wide receiver who's only 26 years old could be part of that. Yes, I agree. I would make the move. I would trade 34 for T. Higgins.
I would too.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think that becomes a much more realistic conversation for them. Assuming this draft goes the way they want it to go, I think it becomes a much more realistic conversation for them this time next year.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna steer away from the draft for my next question here.
All right.
This is more of a AFC East division question. So it involves the Patriots, at least. We'll go there. With Diggs now in Houston, who's the team to be in the AFC? Cause I don't think it's Buffalo anymore. So if you were to put some money down on it, who do you think's the team to beat in the AFC?
No, it's a great question. I tweeted this last week, and people feel the same way because it got some reaction that you have Josh Allen with no supporting cast. Mm. You have Miami, who can't beat any teams over 500. You have a 40-year-old vice presidential candidate coming off a torn Achilles. And you have the Patriots, who are, you know, essentially like, you know, baby deer legs going out on their own for the first time post Belichick and truly hitting the reset button. So all this talk last year of doesn't matter what the Patriots do, the AFC East for 5-10 years is going to be this juggernaut. You never, ever, ever play that game in the NFL, ever. What the Patriots did, rare. What the Chiefs are doing, rare. It is a year-to-year league. That all being said, I do think it's going to be a big adjustment in Buffalo. They should be good. I mean, they're not going to